What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for your word. You've got a purpose for every word that is in the Word of God. And Lord, today we pray that you would unfold your Word to us. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary and that you would put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We all, whether we realize it or not, have an inheritance in Christ. We have a possession that we are supposed to grab onto, take hold of. That's what we have in Christ. In Christ we have all the love, patience, joy, peace, wisdom, hope, and faith available that we need. We have it all. Many of us live unsatisfied and unfulfilled lives because we have never received the blessings that God has already made available to us. I've shared this before when I've taught on faith. Faith is the hands that receive from God. Without faith, God said, no man should think that he would receive anything. Isn't that true? So faith is the hands that receive the possessions that God has designed for us to have. And that speaks to us individually. That speaks to nations as well. In the account of the passage that I've read with you today and that we're going to look into, we see that as a nation, they were supposed to receive their possession right then. Okay? They were supposed to receive it. They were supposed to go in and take the possession. Well, let's explore that a little bit. In Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, it says this: "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. His divine power, this is 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 also says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So, God has called us, he has anointed us, he has appointed us to possess specific things that come from him. Within that is the certain giftings that we would have. Okay, we're not only talking about material possessions here. We're talking about giftings as well that God would equip us with to empower us to be a vital part of his kingdom, to be a vital part of his body, the bride. Okay? So, hope doesn't disappoint us, and we receive hope from him. In Numbers 13, verses 30 and 31 of our text, it says, God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt and the wilderness and desired to lead them into the land of Canaan. Canaan was a land of riches. It was also a land inhabited by giants. The men with Joshua and Caleb were afraid to try to take the land. God had already promised them the land the children of Israel needed to receive their possession. Two came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. Two. The others, we can't. We can't take possession of that. They're too big. They're too mean. Whatever the situation. Yes, the land is great. Look at these grapes. Can you imagine a cluster of grapes so big that they slid a pole through it and carried one cluster of grapes between two men? Now that's grapes we've never seen. So that was proof of how fruitful the land was. And God had already decided and also told them that he was transferring to them this possession. But you know, they had, and we have, at least two things we deal with. We deal with the voices of what I've come to call the crows over the years. You ever have a crow land, or a bunch of crows land near your place, and the ruckus that they make? They make a lot of noise. They're not getting anything done. Crows are mean. They're mean-spirited. They're mean to other birds. They are of the raven family. Crows of the raven family. My point is this. When we are about to take the possession that God is giving us, the enemy is always going to send voices to tell us we can't do that. Never forget that. The enemy will always, always, always do that, because he is always trying to hinder us, to keep us from getting God's best, and to get us to keep from being God's best. The enemy is always trying to hinder us and keep us from the promises of God. So what the other spies saw, they were negative, and what they saw was giants. The descendants of Anak were giants. All right? That's what they saw. Oh, sure, they saw the wonderful land, but immediately, when they saw the giants, they decided, from a human perspective, we can't do that. Nah, we're whipped. We're going to get whipped. If we try to go in there, we're going to get thrashed. Joshua and Caleb didn't say that. Joshua and Caleb didn't say that. Where's the difference? It's all about perspective. Okay? If we are called by God to do what's impossible in the physical, and how many of you know God likes to do that? Because then when it does happen, He gets the glory, because we know we can't do it in our own strength. Okay? So, we deal with our perspective being what we see. And we either see it looking through God at the forefront, in our case, Jesus, with Jesus at the forefront. Did you ever notice what is the closest to you has the biggest influence in your life? Isn't that true? So when you have Jesus in the right place in your life, and all of those things, when you see what could be negative, if you see Jesus in front of that, then you're going to say, let's go take it, because we can well do it. Let's go possess it. Let's go do what God has told us. Let's go possess, let's go take possession of what God has promised to us. That's what we get when we look from that perspective, from God's perspective. When we look from a human perspective, we're beat down already. We have got to learn to walk in the power of the Spirit instead of the weakness of the flesh. And then we will take possession of the promises in our individual lives, in the lives and bloodline of families, and in the lifeblood of a nation. Can I tell you something? Our nation is bleeding right now. Our nation is bleeding. We are in the process of losing the possession we're supposed to keep. Why is that happening? Because there are crows out there. And a lot of them are in the church. The ones that tell you, well, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be involved in politics. Bull. You heard it from this pastor right here. Bull. Christians need to be involved in politics, because guess what? Everything is run by those who show up. And when you allow evil people, godless people, the Bible calls a godless person a fool. So I'm going to say, when you allow fools to run your nation, then you're in the process of losing your possession. Do you see it? So, we're living in a day when they've coined, they love to label people. Well, those Christians that are involved in politics and paying attention to it, of course, seeking Jesus first. Okay? But we're called Christian nationalists now. Yeah. Like, that's a horrible thing. Well, what? How do we rebuttal that? We call them fool nationalists? One good turn deserves another, don't it? You fool nationalists! You're not taking our possession from us! Because our blessing comes from God. This nation was raised up by God for God. This nation was raised up from the beginning to be a light in the world and to be a protector of God's people in Israel. So, this nation has had a destiny. Israel turned from the promise because of fear, because of the crows, just like today. Because of the crows, they shrunk back. My Bible says that if we shrink back and don't operate in faith, God's not pleased with us. That's what my Bible says. God's called us to be strong. God called the Jews to be strong and go in and take possession. And they didn't. And because of that, they wandered in a desert for 40 years, wandering around the same mountain. How long have we been wandering around the same mountain in our lives? Because when we were told to possess something, our faith was not strong enough to possess it, to take it, to receive it. See, God gives it, but we have a responsibility to receive it, to take it by faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is always the enemy of faith. And it's why that's why the enemy of enemies, Satan himself, is always trying to inflict fear on us. Listen, guys, on a personal level, you can't imagine all of the voices that were trying to hold me back when I closed up my shop 25 years ago and went into full-time ministry. You can't even imagine how many people, and some of them were Christian. You can't do that. No, I know I can't, but God can. And I think He did. Because here we are. Here we are, guys. God is pleased with us when we rise to the occasion in the midst of impossible circumstances and step out in faith and receive our possession. Canaan here represents freedom from oppression. Romans 6 verse 14 says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Canaan represents rest from wandering. It's a representation of rest from wandering. Because they wouldn't go into Canaan, they wandered around the same mountain for 40 years. But even in that, God's hand was on them. He provided all their needs. Their sandals did not wear out. Their robes did not wear out. Can you imagine for 40 years? Apparently they didn't even look tattered. God was doing a miracle in the midst of it while He was teaching them something. Listen, you blew it. I intended you to take this possession. You didn't take possession of it. What was the punishment? Has anybody ever told you the punishment? That whole generation, 40 years from a biblical perspective, is one generation. A generation biblically is 40 years. Why 40 years walking in the desert? Because that whole generation died in the desert because of their lack of faith. And it was their children that went in to possess the land when they went in. This is all pretty sobering, isn't it? It's a wake-up call from the Holy Spirit. Christians, we need to stand up and speak up. We need to be who God has called us to be. Turn your hearing aid down if the crows are getting in your ears. I'm so thankful to Almighty God that I chose to turn a deaf ear to all of the crows 25 years ago and since then. Those crows appeared again 21 years ago when God said, "It's time, plant that church in Fulton." And I had countless people say, "Fulton doesn't need another church. The ones we got aren't full. That's why we need another church." Yeah. Have you looked around in here lately? Yeah. Our God is good at what He does. He knows what He's doing. Joshua, who was leading the people, is an image of Jesus Christ. Joshua is the Old Testament name for Jesus. And Caleb, in this instance, can represent us. What was Caleb's challenge? He held on to his faith. He said, "Hey, I don't care about how big these dudes are. Let's go in and get her done." Right? Let's step up and let's get it done. But it wasn't that he didn't see the challenges. But those challenges were small because his faith in God was big. When our faith in God is bigger than the challenges that we face, then we will possess our possessions. We will receive those possessions. The giants in the land were strong and very sizable. There's no doubting that. Caleb saw that. Didn't matter. The giants were pretty strong in position. They were strong in defense. The cities were fortified. So they were strong in defense. Not only were they huge, but they were in fortified cities. Caleb said, "It don't matter. Let's go get it." God said, "These people here are all saying what they're saying, but let me remind you of what God said." We need to ask ourselves that as we're going through life and we come up against these challenges where the enemy is trying to steal our possessions, like he's trying to steal our nation right now. It's time we get back to what God said. I don't care what George Soros and all the billionaires have to say. All those that are using their influence and their money for evil. They don't scare me. Why? Because God. Our God is bigger than any of that. And God not only calls us to walk into our possession, to receive our possession by faith, but He has called us to hang on to our possession that He promised to us. Israel has a responsibility to hang on to the land that they have because God promised it to them. Have you ever wondered why there has been nothing but trouble ever since they got up the Gaza Strip? They got out of God's will. They never were supposed to ever give up God's Strip. And now it's trouble. And here we are again. And it makes me nuts. I hear well-meaning, albeit, Christian people that are deceived that say, "Well, I'm sticking Israelis, what they're doing to them Palestinians. They shouldn't even be in Gaza. They need to keep going till they roust him out and take that back. You heard it here. If you disagree, that's fine. Take it up with God. God put me on this platform. So take it up with God. The giants were also very determined, you can bet. And the giants were arrogant. So then we think about Caleb's courage. Numbers 14, verses 5 through 9. Numbers 14, verses 5 through 9. Getting to read in verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is it's exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." There it is, guys, from God's Word. This isn't what Wayne says. This is God's Word. And why has God given us His Word? He has given us His Word so that we can see this and understand that it's a roadmap for our lives. It's an example to live by. We have authority in Christ to stand up for whatever the inheritance is that we are to have in Him. And again, that speaks to us as individuals, that speaks to us as families, that speaks to us as a nation. It's time to tell the devil to get packing out of this nation. It's time to tell him to get on down the road. You're not taking our possession. My friends, it is no accident that every one of us is alive today in this time. It's by God's design that we are all alive now in the midst of what is happening in our world, in the midst of what is happening in our nation. It's by God's design. He has equipped us. Stand up and speak up. Stand up and speak up. Stand up and shout. Tell the enemy to shut his mouth. Take a stand for Christ. Take a stand for what is right. Caleb saw his problem from God's perspective. It makes the whole difference. He also saw his problem through God's promises. Does that make sense to you? Yep. He saw his problem through God's promises. He had God in the forefront, and he was looking at the problem through the promises. So the promises were in the forefront. Amen. Comes down to again. Let me say it again. What did God say? Well, yeah, but they're huge, and they said this, and these people said that, and this group of people said, we can't do it. And by golly, I don't know if I want to swim against the stream or not. Listen, guys, If you're going to walk in victory in the days that we're living in, you better get your stamina on. You understand what I'm saying? We got some swimming to do against the stream, against the current. Whether you like it or not, as believers, we're called to be salmon. We go against the current. When everybody's going this way, we're going the other way. And you might as well figure it out. The majority of the people have it wrong, and they are going the wrong way. Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few find it. We might as well admit it and figure it out. It's only a few that are going to be saved, because it's wide road that leads to destruction. So why pay attention to the ones that are going to destruction? Why not keep our eyes on Jesus and receive the possession that He has for us? Caleb's victory. What caused Caleb to have victory? First, his steadfast faith. Joshua 14, verses 6 through 7. The clock's going pretty fast. I got to go a little faster, too. But I don't care if I go a few minutes over, do you? Man, we need this. Amen? I needed this. This week, working on this, this bolstered my faith in my God. It encouraged me to be even stronger in the Lord. And in the power of His might. Amen? Joshua 14, 6 through 7. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, a man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions." So he was steadfast in faith. He brought back the report according to his convictions. Are we willing to give a report according to our convictions? Or do we shrink back because there's so many other voices that we get intimidated? Oh, this will preach. Huh? Which is it? I dare say all too often, people mean well, but fear takes them over and they shrink back and keep their mouth shut. And sometimes silence is sin. We sin with our mouths many times when we get them running, don't we? But sometimes silence is sin. When we don't speak up against the evil, that's sin. When we don't call sin what it is, sin. Oh, I made a mistake. No, you sinned. So, secondly, in causing Caleb to have victory, was his wholehearted obedience. Wholehearted obedience, not half-hearted. Wholehearted. Wholehearted obedience is, I'll obey you, Lord, no matter what it is you speak to me. I'm going to obey you. When it don't make any sense to me, I'm going to do it anyway. When it's the hardest road, I'm going to do it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Joshua 14, verse 9 says, "So on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly." Listen, guys. I'm speaking to the adults now. We have a responsibility to God to stand up for our nation. Because it's our promised inheritance. It's our promised possession. God raised this nation up for a reason. It's the greatest nation there has ever been on this earth. And there is not and never will be another one. We have a responsibility to operate under God's leading to preserve, to maintain possession of this nation as a godly nation for our children and our children's children and their children on down the line until Christ returns. We've got a responsibility to God, to our children. Joshua 14, verses 13 and 14 says, "Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly." Did you catch that? He got his inheritance, and it has been in his family ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Not half-hearted dedication. Wholehearted dedication. There's a big difference. There are a whole lot of believers today that are half-hearted believers. That's a fact. They're half-hearted. You can see it everywhere. Do you think God's pleased with that? You think it might be why we're going through the judgment we are in this nation? See, another name for half-hearted is lukewarm. And we know from Revelation that the lukewarm, God spits out of his mouth. He rejects them. So we need to get wholehearted. Wholeheartedly serious. Love our God because he first loved us. Serve our God because he has equipped us for everything he has called us into. He's already equipped us. Too many have neglected the calling on their lives. Third one that attains to victory on Caleb's behalf was his supernatural strength. Caleb was getting old when this all went down. He said, "I'm as virile as I was." He threw his shoulders back and pumped his chest out, and he was ready to go. Joshua 14, verses 10 and 11 says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised," I love that, "just as the Lord promised, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses," now do the math, he's 85 here, "while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." That's God. That's God. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord..." You think Caleb hoped in the Lord? Yes? Two people agree with me. Can I give about half a dozen amens? There we go. There you are. I just wanted to make sure I haven't put you to sleep. I've been trying to preach today, but you never know. Sometimes I think it's better than it is. Need to check once in a while. Every once in a while, I got to mess with you. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not be faint. That's the heritage of those who hope in the Lord. Is your hope in the Lord or is your hope in this world? Because our hope needs to be in the Lord, guys. I challenge you to do that. Put your hope in the Lord because He will never, ever fail you. I promise. He'll never fail. And He'll never fail us. In conclusion, by golly, I made it. It's like 1 minute to 11. When we give our lives to Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have all we will ever need. In Christ, we are complete. When we don't have Christ, we're incomplete. We're like a 5,000-piece puzzle with a piece missing. And the only piece that will fit in that slot is Jesus Christ. It's Him that completes us. We just need to see from God's perspective. We need to accept God's promises for what they are. And we need to catch a vision of God's purposes. And receive our possessions as a result of all that. I hope you're encouraged. That's the message for today. That's what God put on my heart this week. That was a message God wanted me to preach. For me, it's timely. Our whole nation needs this. We need this. We need this message because we've got to get back to the Father's business. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Your Word speaks. Your Word is powerful. And You watch over Your Word to perform it. So, Lord, perform Your Word today in each and every one of us. I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us, every man, woman, and child, has been transformed today because we have had the Word of God sown in our hearts. We have been challenged by You, Lord. We have been encouraged by You. And we have been sent out to fulfill Your will in our lives. And so, Lord, as we leave, use us. Bring people in our circle of influence before us. Open doors for us to share the hope that we have in Christ. And, Lord, prepare us for what lies ahead. Especially the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless. We love You.